bericht krijgen uit Berlijn via de telefoon of fax of wat dan ook, zullen we dat zeker ook hier proberen te verspreiden, want je hoort hier inderdaad heel weinig.
Ja. Oh ja, verder wou ik ook nog vertellen dat gisteravond was dus de bedoeling dat we hier een dat we een praatje zouden houden over de dingen waarmee we in Nederland bezig zijn. En onder andere ook de Antifa waar we mee bezig zijn. Maar dat, dat was aangekondigd. Er kwamen zo ongeveer 150 mensen op af. En ook mensen uit Engeland zouden hier wat vertellen. Maar ja, vanwege de sfeer en de toestand van de laatste tijd is ook allemaal heel erg emotioneel. Mensen barsten hier constant in huilen uit en zien het allemaal niet meer zitten. Maar vanwege die toestanden hebben we die avond een heel kort praatje gehouden over, alleen over Antifa en niet over verdere zaken, omdat het ons nogal ongepast leek. En ook de Engelse mensen hebben het kort gehouden wat betreft Antifa in Engeland. Die avond is het dus de opsomming die ik zojuist opgelezen heb door de mensen van de Berliner Antifa gehouden. En dat leidde eigenlijk wel tot allemaal heel emotionele taferelen. En de schrik zit er goed in hier.
Er wordt nu gevraagd of Kreuzberg nog steeds vol staat met smeer is. Of?
Op dit moment sowieso letten ze goed op. Want ook de andere demonstratie die direct na de moord op Silvio is geweest, daarbij zijn ook een aantal een kroeg van fascio's aangepakt tijdens de demonstratie en zijn hier en daar ruiten ingegaan. En vervolgens is die hele demonstratie ook ingeblikt. Dus de sfeer is eigenlijk steeds grimmiger geworden. En op dit moment letten ze wel op. Het staat niet helemaal vol. Maar ze rijden wel meer rond en houden de boel wel meer in de gaten op dit moment. Ja, er zijn gisteren ook panzerwagens ingezet. En het was echt ongelooflijk. Allemaal.
Ik zou zeggen, let goed op en we zien jullie hopelijk dan wel binnenkort weer. En
ja,
als we wat horen, dan zullen we het zeker verspreiden.
Ja, als wij nog ander nieuws doorkrijgen vandaag wat belangrijk genoeg is, dan bellen we wel weer op.
Goed, dan horen we dat wel.
Oké. Okay.
En sterkte.
Ja.
Doei.
Doei.
De aanslag in Meulen, waarbij dag 3 Turkse mensen zijn vermoord. Anke, you can tell something more about what happened there on Sunday.
I mean, I'm staying since some days here in Amsterdam, so I know just the news about the German from the German television. But I mean, what I know is that fascist attack, or they tried to burn down two houses where Turkish people are living in, and it was, for me, it was quite a new thing how the politicians react yesterday in the television, because they start to speak in a way that it's somehow attack on a whole German society, and this is quite new, because in the last racist attacks and racist manslaughter, the politicians, they were ignoring this situation. And for me, it's quite a new thing how politicians react on killing this three people. But I mean, why they react like this yesterday? It's because they're afraid of the reaction of the Turkish community. Turkish and Kurdish community, it's the biggest community in the big cities in Germany, and they well organized since years. I mean, it's the best organized community.
They're afraid of the
counter attacks from Turkish and Kurdish youth. So I mean, for example, in Berlin last year, one Turkish guy was killed from fascists on the street, and I mean the politicians, they just ignore this racist attack at all in the public. But how the Turkish community reacted in Berlin, they started to make a demonstration, and the Turkish youth, they start to organize lots of demonstrations nearly every day. In the following days, there were demonstrations and small riots in Kreuzberg. And at least at the end of this big main demonstration, police attack, and it was a demonstration, I mean, showing the solidarity with the killed guy. And the police attacked this demonstration very hard, just to, I mean, to put pressure on what's going on and this kind of organization in among the Turkish community. But in the following days, the Turkish people, they really counterattack the police again on the streets, because I mean everybody was really shocked, and you could see in television, a cable station, Turkish television, you could see in the following days a hard discussion. You know, that even middle-class Turkish people attacked the German government really hard.
Yeah, that's what in the paper says today, that Turkish young people are asking themselves if they should weapon themselves. And
they already, I mean, they are weaponed with the knives and everything.
It was like written in the newspaper that Turkish youth, it's like, now it's like, or they have to leave, or they have to arm themselves, and a lot of them are arming themselves at this moment. So.
I mean, the Turkish youth, they're born in the big cities in Germany, they grow up in the cities, they have nothing to do in Turkey, they can't live in a society like in Turkey now. So, I mean, they're very strong, and they're the best organized people in the quarters. And in a Turkish youth groups, people from different countries are organized in. So, I mean, more and more immigrant, the second generation from immigrants, they stay organized now in small groups in the different neighborhoods. And for sure they will defend the neighborhoods, and they will, they have no chance to stay organized in Germany, or to leave the country.
And that's different with people from other countries like Vietnam. Then the government reacted quite different from what they are saying now.
It's quite different how the government react on a racist manslaughter from refugees, for example, because they know refugees, I mean, they're well organized now too, but not like like immigrants who are staying since two or three generations now in Germany. Still, refugees are more organized in smaller groups in the different refugee camps. Or they're quite isolated, still lots, they're quite isolated from the rest of the society. So, I mean, it's really a difference. It's really difference. In the beginning of this year, fascists killed a whole family in the same way. They burned down the house. It was just a small article in newspaper, nothing else. They never broadcast it through so much through a television station and a radio.
So it's quite hypocritical from the German government.
No, it's not hypocritical. They're afraid now.
It's opportunist.
It has nothing to do with the, you know, with being hypocritical. They're just afraid now. I mean, they said yesterday, the first I heard on the television was, oh, they try to calm down the Turkish, the second generation, the Turkish youth. In Frankfurt and in Hamburg and in Berlin and in Mölln, where this racist slaughter happened.
Could you tell some more about what's happening at the German-Polish border and what the government is doing there and the police and whatever?
It's quite a different discussion to speak about the Polish border. I mean, the German-Polish border, it's one of the very important borders in Europe. Through Poland and Czechoslovakia, which is a bit more in the south of Germany, the most of the refugees come in now to Germany, and I think lots of them they continue traveling to different other European countries. Because I mean, the former ways through Yugoslavia and Spain, I mean, the borders. They're well guarded now, and then more or less Spanish border is more or less closed, so people can come to Europe through the airports, or lots of them come through the Polish German border. And So it's one of the things that the German government really tried to do now. They try to close the border down, and because still every day, every night, hundreds of people enter through the border rivers, which are quite, it's quite easy to walk through the rivers. You even don't have to swim through the rivers. What you can see now at the border, it's how racist propaganda is working in during the last years. In the last month, or up from springtime this year, I spent quite a lot of days along the Polish border to see how things are changing there. And you can see now that, I mean, before, I mean, in springtime, the border police still tried to guard the border, and now they have different strategies. The people can come through the rivers, and then around the exception camps, I mean, the refugee camps where the people have to go to apply for asylum, they make a belt around sometimes the border police, and they just start to arrest the people in front of the refugee camps where they want to apply for asylum. And the rest, it's a kind of, I mean, somehow they divided the work. The rest, the racist and fascist groups are doing from the different cities. So the cities along the Polish border, like Frankfurt Oder or Eisenhüttenstadt, Guben, and so on, during the night you can see, I mean, quite a lot of young people. They meet on the street along the border, and they start to guard the big the main streets from the cities. And if you speak with them, they say it very openly. They say, "Oh, the border police is not able to guard this border, so we do the rest of the work." I mean,
they work start together attacking with police.
No, they don't work together, but they divide the work. So police is they make a belt around the refugee camps, and patrolling with cars along the streets along the border, and the racist and fascist groups, I mean, they guarding the streets in the cities. During the summer, this situation escalates somehow in some cities. It was during the pogrom in Rostock. The situation that, I mean, everybody was speaking in the media is about the pogrom in Rostock, and in the same time situation in all the border cities were nearly the same.
And that was not mentioned as much as Rostock itself.
It was.
Yes, I didn't read anything about.
No, it was mentioned. Mm. Every day you could read some small articles, but the articles were like, you know, if you count, I mean, if you put all the articles together, you can see that every day the fascist and racist groups attack people on the street or refugee homes or Chinese restaurants or anything. But I mean, they never mention it like Rostock. So they put it, I don't know. I mean, you could read every day about these cities, but, you know, in very small articles.
It was like the month after Rostock. It was first front page news every day, and then later on it moved to the third page, and then there was this articles about the racist and fascist attacks, and then at the end of the same article, the discussion in the government and in the parliament was mentioned about the asylum policy and about changing the constitution. And then 2 weeks, 1 week or 2 weeks later, it was like there was an article at page number 6 about the discussion about changing the constitution and changing the politics. And then at the end of this article, you could read about the last 5 racist attacks last night, or the 10 or dozen attacks last weekend. And it was daily news like that. It was every day. It continued.
Yeah, now it's really getting out of control.
Yeah, but it's... I just want to speak about, you know, how this hard racist propaganda started in the beginning of the summer. In different cities, they start to make problems for the refugees who arrive in this reception camps. Because of this, these camps are really important because people are coming every day through the border. And in Rostock, it was the same, a similar situation. It's what the fascists attacked first was this reception camp for the refugees. And what they've done in Rostock, they did in other cities as well. They had limited opening hours for the offices for the foreign police where the people have to apply for asylum. So they closed these offices at 12 o'clock, but I mean the people arriving during the whole day. And sometimes they just accept, I mean, some people, you know, about 20 people or 40 people each day, but more people arrive there. So they have to stay outside of the refugee home. And in this situation, I mean, they put in all the cities refugees in this situation. They have to live outside of the refugee camp. And most of the refugees in this time are Gypsies or Roma from Romania, because it's the biggest refugee group now. And then they start with the racist propaganda against the Roma. You know, Roma living somehow like animals. They're living on a street, they're sleeping on the street, they shit in the rose gardens of nice German people, and so on and so on. The police behave in a way like, you know, Romanian people are stealing a lot. And they start to make body checkups for Romanian people in normal shops. I mean, even if people want to enter a shop, police was guarding or standing outside the shop or inside the shop, and they start to make complete body checkup. I mean, body checkup, we know from really hard militant demonstrations that you know, police make a banner, a belt around the place and make really hard body checkup to search for anything. So I mean, this they start to do every day with Romanian people and with Roma. And what happened is like that, if you behave to people like that they're second or third class people, more and more people think about it. I mean, they get used to pictures like this in the neighborhood. That, I mean, you live quite your normal life, and but then there are, I mean, second or third class people like Romanian people. So it's more easy for the racist to attack the people. If anybody is frustrated, he can kill a Romanian one. Nobody very few German people will react on racist slaughter at Romanian people or deportation of Romanian people. So like this, I mean, they start to speak more about the changing the constitution law, because, I mean, they say, look at the streets, it's crowded with the Romanian people, and it's just too much, and everybody agree. Yeah, it's true, the streets were crowded, but, I mean, the reception camps were closed for them in this time. And what happened now is the German government make a contract with Romania, and it's the first time. I mean, they offered them 30 million mark, and the conditions are that they have to take back all the, or they have to accept all the Romanian refugees that Germany will deport, even without papers.
That's what they are doing now, deporting the Roma.
Yeah, and they already started now. I mean, last week, before it came to Amsterdam, I heard about the first deportations from Berlin. They just had a list with 40 people on, and they were deporting 40 people. So mass deportation like this never happened before, because normally the people need their papers. They have to prove the identity if the people are really the people they want to deport.
They just paid the Romanian government this 30 million mark, and that's it.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, it's quite a dangerous thing that the government started to do now, to make such racist propaganda and to put, you know, really, I mean to force, it's somehow really like to force or to give a target for everyone where you it's a target for everyone who is somehow frustrated or aggressive or, you know, anything.
They created this violent climate.
Yeah, it's like what Helmut Kohl, I thought it was Kohl who said, like, they, Germany can't take more refugees because the refugees cause unrest and violence in the Neue Bundesländer in East Germany, and well, I think that's absolutely not true. The people who caused the unrest in East Germany are the responsible politicians in Bonn, and they caused the economical problem with their mismanagement and with the megalomaniac reunification thing, and they want to, yeah, get the attention of people to, they want to the people to look at another problem or at something which is not causing the problem. They are causing the problem themselves, and so
they're using the people from, or the refugees and Turkish people as a scapegoat for their own.
It's like Lichtenhagen, where this riots broke out in Rostock. It's like it's a working class area, and it's like over 50% of the people who live there are young people, youth, and it's Rostock is a place where you have this harbor and dock workers, and they close all the dock the docks, and the people are unemployed. There's a real unemployment of about 60%, and I think if you live there, it's it's completely no future, and there's nothing at all to look forward to. And it's like what the Treuhand said, it's will take maybe it will take 20 years. Well, in 20 years, maybe the economical situation will improve.
The Treuhand,
that's the state organization which is making the old state companies in East Germany private into private companies. And also, like now, there's this article today in the Volkskrant about what's still happening in Rostock and in the Deelstaat. In Mecklenburg-Vorpommern, it is this minister of Binnenlandse Zaken, Interior Minister, it's Lothar Kupfer from CDU. Was it? It was him who said it was actually quite reasonable, or he had something like respect, or he understood those young people who were attacking this asylum in Rostock. And he is personally responsible for the failing police strategy then at that time in Rostock. It's now in you can read it in the Spiegel that he personally there were meetings where they decided to have this tactic on getting the police away, because the police was more in danger than the Vietnamese people who lived there. And the same night
they were waiting around the corner.
We had that a few weeks ago in the program about that the police just looked the other side and let the youth attack this house, and they just didn't do anything they could, but they refused to react.
This guy is not being fired. He can just stay where he is, and they say he's not responsible at all. And
that's
some about strange strategy of the German government.
I mean, it also started a discussion about the how police and how the judge react on this racist attacks and manslaughter. And a lot of even people from the left, from left organizations or groups, they start to compare now, the difference how police react in the end of the 17th against the radical left movement, and how they react now against the radical right movement. And I think it's really dangerous. It's really dangerous and stupid to compare it. But I mean, a lot of people, they start to do it now in the public, you know, to accuse the police. In the 17th they react very hard, and now they don't react. But I mean, all the years through, all the time we accused the police that being fascist and supporting fascists, and I would be a liar if I'm astonished now how the police react supporting the fascist groups.
But now it's what happened last Sunday in Merlin, now they're getting a little bit afraid of how far it's gone at this moment.
Yeah, it was like it's all right with political refugees. That's the aim as well from the politicians, but it's running out of hand as soon as they start to attack Turkish people or Jewish people as well. That's the thing they don't want. They want to control the whole thing. They started this, they didn't, I don't know if they started it, but they were trying to manipulate it and use it for their own aims. And now it's, they set their own house on fire.
Now we play some music now, and then we come back after that.
People from the east and the people from the west. I mean, they start to kick out a lot of people from the west because the people from the east they accept the better working the worse working conditions. And what they're doing now, for example, in Berlin, is they close down lots of factories, and they transfer the factories, the production places, they transfer to the east, to the state around Berlin. Because the people in Brandenburg, they get still 60 or 70% of the salary in West Berlin. So, I mean, in the next 2 years, 10,000 of workers from West Berlin will lose their job, or they will follow the factories to the east, and then they're working for the same salary like 10 years ago.
And the trade unions are cooperating with this. They don't protest. Or whatever, they just ignore it.
In the beginning, I mean, the trade union is a organization which is dominated from the people in the West. So first they were just fighting to keep the status of life in the West because they were afraid that in the West the social conflict will start too. So they, I mean, how they react, for example, on the strikes in a springtime this year. The strikes were against the situation for the people in the east. So there's one example from Berlin when the subway drivers and the bus drivers had a strike to get more salary. The trade union forced the people from East Berlin not to take part in the strike, and they really put hard pressure on them that they're not allowed to take part in the strike. And so just the people in West Berlin could participate in the strike. And therefore, for sure, they were just fighting for their own salary. They showed no solidarity for the people in the East.
The people from the East were not even allowed to show their solidarity with the people from the West and to make it into a strike together or something. It's like a weird policy.
Yeah.
Something you told yesterday is like they also said something not to strike in the East, so the salaries will stay low, so the West German companies will move to East Germany, which is
No, it's different. Mm. They told the people from the east, I mean, just the people from the west can fight or can do this strike, because if the people from the west get more salary, you get, I mean, automatically you get more salary, a higher salary as well. But I mean, they forgot to tell them that they still get 60% or 70% of a west salary. So, but now I think the trade union is just running after what the capital is doing. Because I think they're quite shocked to see how things are developing in Berlin too, that they close down factories and going to the east, getting more subsidies from the state and producing with like 10 years ago.
It's like the trade unions, the traditional West German trade unions are almost as worse as the official state trade union in East Germany used to be. Like, yeah, I don't know what to say else actually.
But you say that in the next years, also in West Germany, a lot of people are going to lose their jobs because factories, they go to East Germany, it's cheaper, they get more subsidy. And then the situation in West Germany will get out of hand even more, with the tension with Turkish people or refugees. It's all it's connected together. And trade unions don't do anything.
I don't know what they think. I mean, to do in the next month or in the next years. But up to now, they just, I mean, they. I think they, somehow they're a bit weak or aimless as well. I mean, after this strike in a springtime, the capitalists somehow they showed the trade union that they, I mean,